Then some early classics of organization theory. There are multiple disciplines at the background of organization theory, many kind of approaches. Just want to mention a few of the early classics. Well, there was Karl Marx in Germany, and before him it was even Adam Smith, who was somehow often he's seen a kind of founding father of economical studies, economic studies, management. It wasn't so much about management at all, but anyway, it was about enterprises and organizations at that time. Organizations weren't so large at that time. It was not the time of industrialization that happened somewhat later. Then it was Émile Durkheim in France, and he was studying rules, kind of understanding of organizational culture and organizations. Also Max Weber, he's well known on bureaucracy studies and kind of finding the concept of charisma and charismatic leadership. Then after him, it was Frederick Taylor, who is well known about his scientific management kind of approach. After him, it was Mary Follett and Henry Fayol and Mayo, who all somehow focused on human relations. Somehow kind of paradigm changed after scientific management. It was very, very formal emphasis in its approach, whereas Follett, Fayol and Mayo focused on human relations behind organizational behavior. Also, Chester Barnard was the first who brought up to the field kind of functions of management, really going into the field of management, saying that it's activities. Why management is there? It's not only the power. It's not only the kind of authority, but it means that it has many kind of functions, like being the representative of the enterprise to the outer audience, and so to say. James Marks, who was known about his work in bounded rationality, was from Stanford University, and he somehow was the first among the first who really went into the understanding that organizations are not only rational, but they are also irrational and maybe foolish. They somehow it's bounded rationality. They cannot be perfect in their understanding about the environment, for instance. But they somehow are muddling between being perfect and being bounded rational at the same time somehow. Whereas in Taylor's scientific management, it was really a kind of principle that they thought that everything can be somehow universally be found, what is the best way to organize things, what is the best way to do things, and how people should be managed in one universal way, so to say. This early modern organization studies, as I was saying, they somehow grew to the Tayloristic understanding of how to lead and manage people. And it was the well-known Hawthorne studies that were there that somehow made researchers understand that it's not only the technical circumstances, environment that makes sense for people when they work, but it's much more, it's the social aspect which is important. And it's started a new approach for leadership, studying leadership, studying group level behavior, studying social issues in general in work life, and after that culture, etc. So it was a big break at that time. It was a kind of turn to human aspects or management. And Herbert Simon, in fact, he won the Nobel Prize. I think it was 1978. And it was really given to his new founding perspective for decision making. And together with also later with James Marsh, they worked together for the psychological aspects of decision making and kind of behavioral aspects of the enterprise. And concepts that they were using were uncertainty avoidance, how conflicts are solved, organizational learning even, and a kind of problematistic search for how organizations are working. It was still not very empirical research at all. It was very much based on theoretical work. Also James Marty's work about bounded rationality later. And anyway, they started to look at more at the individual level of organizations. What happens at the individual level, beyond organizational rationality and identity, how people can work there in the environment which is very unsure all the time. And in fact, also another kind of later is Bengt Holmström, who won Nobel Prize a few years ago. The Finnish person, it was much more about transaction theories and somehow what it means to work together and somehow more social capital kind of level understanding that he was focused on. So it was a big research group as it is always, but somehow it is Nobel Prize is given to some person, of course, as it was Herbert Simon in these times. Okay, later it happened that there were many big schools on organization theory, as we would see Taylorism was one school, but there were many, many other schools. There were Bandura, who was studying social cognitive theory, Beats and Mitchell about images of organization, image theory, Folger studying fairness theory, how people felt, what kind of salary they should have so that there is kind of fairness that they somehow measure their own salary, that kind of issues. Also rumors about motivation, expectancy theory, how motivation is somehow built on expectations what people have. And stores about commitment, psychological commitment, Russo about psychological contract, learning theories from Arguris, Nonaka, non-organizational learning, then this margin bounded rationality, institutional theories by Scott, Winters, evolutionary theory, Huff's managerial organizational cognition, and behind that is learning organization somehow, this concept. Barney was studying inequality and in relation to resource-based theories somehow, what it means that people are equal, they need to have some resources that they somehow are being able to share. That kind of issue. So this can be somehow used behind some research. Even you can pick one or probably a few one when you study, for instance, organizational learning, or you can build your own research on that. That's the theory building part of anyone's work. Well, Carl Weick is well known about sense-making theory in organizations. And this sense-making it tries to be a kind of very big theory, and it's not very easy to use it in an empirical way. But very often I have seen that people use it in, as a kind of background theory to understand how people construct their social reality in organizations somehow, how they make sense about what's happening. And only sometimes it's taken as such for the kind of theoretical basis of any study. Then Freeman about stakeholder theory. What's our meaning for relations of the organization to the outer world, so to say? Williamson's transaction cost theory, which I would also see that is at the background of Holmstrom's work. Pfeffer about resource-based theory, how behavioral organization is affected by its environment. And in fact, Pfeffer was one of those. I think it was 1979 he wrote about culture of organizations. And he was one of the first who brought this concept to the field. Also, Kallas and Smerczyk, who are, well, at first they are cultural researchers. They somehow use the concept of culture in organization studies, but at the same time, they are very, they have done very much work on gender and in relation to culture, in fact, in organizational study field. So that's just pick up a few names that are important in this field. I could even pick up Mats Alderson and critical theory, so some others, but you know, some of the very classics I just wanted to show out. Then about interpretative approach in management, going to the kind of background that's much more about this in the third day by Tuomo Peltonen, about social constructionism and structuralism and postmodernism. But in general, this interpretative approach on management is it's kind of field that is also at the background of many qualitative studies nowadays. I think that qualitative studies do not very well in very functionalist theoretical approach at all. So interpretative studies, it means that social construction is at the basis of organizational reality, and it's a kind of interactional happening that takes place there. For instance, it leadership or as a management of meaning. So leadership is only if there are followers. Followers are somehow inventing the leadership. If they don't recognize the leader, so usually it cannot belong that way. So it's a kind of social construction that happens there. So culture and organizations theoretically cross. And organizations are cultures, or they have cultures, and that's about Linda Smerczyk, article that you have at the reading package. It's about exactly about this understanding organizations as cultures or having cultures, and this interpretative approach is more about they are cultures, as also Berger and Lachmann are. Very classical book about social construction or reality that they are talking about. Also, semiotics is a kind of methodology even to study those meanings of organizing and stories and their structures. Then also identity, legitimacy, meaning of emotions, mythologies, and stories, narrative approach in general, they have to do this in this interpretative approach on management, or not so much. It's not so easy to see them in a kind of modernistic context. Basic differences in modernism and interpretative approach are roughly to say or summarize that in modernism it's typical to search for harmony and one best solution. Whereas instead of that, in interpretative perspective, emphasis is on multiple descriptions, interpretations of reality, values as such. And it's not the kind of story to find the best solution. Then kind of brief summary of postmodern impact on organization theory. It was Foucault, Derrida, and some other researchers who are very well known and done the basic work in this field. Well, they study discourses, differences, power relations, textual analyses, dualities, and power of the text itself is somehow what is quite central in this approach. So it is seen that, for instance, when he writes something, it's not only as a tool for something, but it has the power for the writer, it has the power for the audience who have to do something. And so it's a kind of critical approach itself, this postmodernism. I think that it cannot be understood without being a bit critical somehow. It talks about ownership. And earlier it was Marx who talked about ownership at the enterprise level, and now it's more about load of information and knowledge, it becomes as a powerful itself in this approach. And often it becomes nearer to social sciences, this kind of organization theory understanding, because of linguistics and kind of abstract definition of organization and firm. And Boyer and Denery are still doing a lot of work in this narrative approach and kind of also critical understanding of voices that are not heard and that are marginalized at the organizational level. Who is making the kind of other? We can make someone the other when we take someone, the central person, then someone else is the other. So what happens when we write about organizations? And that kind of issues are important for them. Then Derrida and about deconstruction, which is a kind of not really a method, but kind of way to understand, way to practice empirical work even. So it can be done deconstruction that somehow reveals the textual substance. For instance, are we somehow, when we write something, we are probably making someone else as the other, but we don't recognize that. So it's about reflection and dynamics of the text. What is revealed there, how text comes alive through otherness. So in fact, it's cannot be done without, but the question is, who is the other and how we somehow handle the other, etc. For instance, it's a lot about talk nowadays, this COVID-19 and risky groups of people, for instance, this aging aspect. If people are over 70, they just have their birthday, after that they are somehow the other who is at the risky state. And so just trying to understand this kind of dynamics that happens all the time when we somehow deliver some text. Well, then there is an approach by Gareth Morgan, which is about metaphors of organizations. And it's very well known textual understanding that about classify classes in organization studies. So he somehow classifies organization studies using eight classes. So first is the organizations as machines. So, you know, metaphor is a kind of even visual metaphor. So combined in this class, there are images that somehow recognize mechanization and try to study organizations as if they were machines. You know, in organizational language, there are quite many phrases like this. So we can use them that way. If we have vacation, we are just charging our machines, so to say, or something like that. And then organizations can be as organisms, which is more biological, nature-like. So saying that, well, for instance, there cannot be in one town, there cannot be more than two hamburger restaurants. So it's a kind of biological even that organizations cannot live forever, and they cannot live as many as possible. There are also marketing issues and limits for that. Then there is organization as brains image, which is this big study field about self-organization, learning aspects, organizational learning, all that belongs somehow to this class. Organization culture is about creating social reality, about working as cultures, about seeing that organizations are cultures and they can create social reality. There are social phenomena, social capital, intellectual capital, all that belongs somehow. Understanding that organizations as such are somehow learning. Of course, it's conceptual, it's only metaphorical, it's not kind of physical. Because as we started, organizations are, we can approach them using concepts, and culture is one concept. Then organizations can be studied as political systems, which is, well, quite a big study field as well. Interest, conflict, power questions, marginalizing, psychodynamics, all that, mobbing, sexual harassment, all that, I think, can easily be seen in this context. Organizations as physical prisons, it's also one way which somehow focuses on the negative aspect of organizations, saying that they are somehow not so creative, they are somehow hiding creativity, and individuals are not doing well in organizations. All kind of black sides of organizations often belong to that. Or somehow we have to empower people, and when we do that, maybe they are after that so much more creative. Organizations as flux and transformation, about change aspects are typical there. Organizations as instruments or dominations, it's, well, they also have aspects from class six, etc. But more studying the structure of organizations, what is there really inside that makes them dominate. And that means that we can somehow collect together under all these classes studies, organizational studies, say that, well, this study belongs to machine metaphor. This study belongs to physics present metaphor or culture or political. And that way, it's more about fields or management. And a bit similar kind of understanding is this Mary Jo Hatzis book about organizational theory, and she is dividing organization theory into fields: physical structures, culture, power structures, change and learning, individuals, decision making, management, environment, technology, And it's in this organization theory, modern, symbolic, and postmodern perspectives. And the new edition is together with Anne Cunliffe. So just to go a bit involved into this field, this physical structure of organizations. So that's one side of organizations. We can study the elements of structures, geography, layout, design questions, all that area. We can study corporate image and identity in connection to physical structure. You know, logo tries to probably identify the organization somehow, and it wants to tell something about itself using some kind of logo. So it goes near to architecture and art management, and also in marketing they are quite interesting in studying this physical structure of organizations. For instance, restaurants, how we organize the space so that it's somehow attracting for people, and how we do art management, like theaters or all that. They have a lot to do with these physical structures or organizations. Then culture and symbolism, which is, here is by the way, Linda Smercik and Martha Kalas, who are doing a lot in this field and also in gender studies. So it's, well, we can have approaches many kinds. One is that organizations as sites of culture, what happens there, what are the traditions and all that belongs to culture somehow, values, stories, all that. Or then we can approach it using cross-cultural approach. I think among the articles you have one that is focused exactly on cross-cultural issues or organizations. And I think that's quite often what comes first in mind with people when they thought about cultural studies or organizations. So comparing different countries and different national philosophies and ideas, political systems, etc. So it's also about individuals to understand them in their cultural context. So how can we approach Asian way to do management, or how can we understand some other cultural context? Symbolism and organizational realities, what happens there, what does it mean that we have some kind of prime minister, for instance? It's a lot of symbolism there. For instance, our Prime Minister Marin. So well, she's the Prime Minister. It's the most important, but at the same time, it's a lot of interest because she's young and she's a woman. So because they are usually minorities as prime ministers, so it's also a lot of symbolism and that kind of issues. Rationality critics, also multidisciplinarity is a lot of there. In fact, culture comes from anthropology, and it is used in organizational studies only like 30 years. 35, maybe it started at the beginning of the 80s. Then it's also leading to many other perspectives, like identity research. Individual identity and organizational identity are very much used nowadays at the theories, at the study. When you read some research, they quite often refer to kind of identity research of organizations. Somehow it's it's very much present in our understanding what happens in organizations. And also identity, in fact, in psychology, it has been a long time a big issue there. And identity theories, it's somehow overall in current understanding of individuals or groups, organizations, identity studies are very much hand in hand with cultural studies also. And kind of similar thing behind cultural studies are that we see cultures, organizations as collective realities. And it's a bit more than individuals. It's a bit more than groups. And it's something more that is at the heart of organization theory, so to say, that we understand that organizations are an object of research that is important as such. And also this gender nature of organizations, it becomes, or it starts from understanding organizations as cultures, because gender is a cultural concept itself. Then organizational power, control, and conflict. And they are usually critical studies about power and control. Agency theory is about how managers act in relation to the owners, what is at the heart of organizational actions, why there is agency, so to say, at the enterprise, at the organization. Then there are critical studies of power control, feminist studies, conflict studies, and power relations in general. But structures of organizations, that's also a very, very big field, and I just refer to some classics here. Max Weber about this authority, charisma, organization types and bureaucracy in special. Then some Aston group studies that are about institutional aspects, more or less. Oliver Williamson about transaction theory. Henry Minsberry about managerial roles and why managers are needed, what managers do in fact. So it was a lot of also empirical studies, really, what managers do, why they are there in their role. And also Charles Handy about types of organizations, which kind of cultures there are. It's an example of this special approach here. There are also other researchers that have been studying the types of organizations. Many of them like Liebehood and some other people. Then change and learning in organizations. It's about Pettigrew, that was about dimensions of strategic change. And he was also using the cultural approach, but at the same time, I think it was more or less about change in organizations, about strategic change and processes, context and content, longitudinal studies, how firms are doing and behaving. Chris Arguris also making an empirical work about learning approach, learning organization, and Peter Senge about learning organization and tacit knowledge. Well, individuals in organization, we started from Mayo. It went to Hertzberry, Maslow studies about motivation, hierarchy of needs on Maslow, where Hertzberry was building his theory about motivation. And Tavistock Institute studied about human relations. It's still the journal published about human relations. The quality of working life, flat organization, optimization, how people are instead of technology studied, or somehow how people can use technology instead of the technology somehow over relevance to people. So that kind of issues are typical there, and motivation and commitment studies. Then decision making theory, I was also mentioning them earlier. Management of organizations. Well, I would like to add here with the big names, some Henry Braverman about labor processes or organizations, also Thomas Peters, Robert Waterman about entrepreneurship, productivity, customers. They were studied enterprises that were doing well and tried to study why they were doing well. Mosa Petros-Kantor about maybe the first book, 1977, about men and women or organizations, entrepreneurial organization innovations. And they were somehow challenging the view that men are mostly the majority as managers in organizations. And he was saying that it's kind of waste of resources because there are not so many women at all. So it was somehow one of those approaches that started with gender studies. Also, environmental organizations by Paul Lawrence and Jay Lords about organizations, how they help people to find better solutions. Also very system-oriented way to study the thing. James Thompson, norms of rationality, effectiveness, technologies, and how they are dealing with environment. Also Pepper and Gerald Salancik about adoption of organizations, altering constraints, political actions, somehow very near to cultures of organizations. And then there was interesting, good example by Hannan and Freeman about population ecology, views about organizations, really like this metaphor, biological metaphor from Garrett Morgan, how they are niches for organizations, how organizations are living but also dying. And they were criticizing that it's too much about living organizations. We don't so much talk about that they don't live forever, so to say. And it's this niche understanding is important. So they were even using some physics concepts from physics and natural sciences in order to understand how kind of populations or organizations are living and in the world. Then Gert Hofstede about dimensions of organization and national cultures, power distance, uncertainty avoidance, individualism, masculinity and femininity. So many people know about Hofstede studies because it's cross-cultural studies. They had about 56 countries, and they studied IBM organization, which had its local offices in these countries, and they were comparing people, their motivations, and their understanding about organizations. So it was very much based on empirical study, what they were doing. Having interesting outcomes of that area. And then also this technology as a field within organization theory. So it's about how we use technology and how technology should be used better and better, and how there are cultural norms and power relations when using technology. And also how social structure and environment can be combined with technology. Also information processing and new technologies as an emerging and powerful research stream has been there, like Prasad and some other people are doing a lot of work in that. Well, that was about organization theory as a local knowledge. We could have, of course, many faces there, but there are now Barbara Czarniawska and Mats Alvesson. So just a few aspects. There are some peculiarities in Scandinavia. We do a lot of stakeholder theories, institutionalism, organizations, how they contact to various other institutions, also gender analysis and feminism, because women have so high participation in work life in Scandinavia and Finland. So how they are doing, and family, work life comparisons and balance, and that kind of research is quite peculiar to Scandinavian work. Also cooperation, competition as basic strategies, because it has been it's known, Scandinavia is known to have quite low organizations, not so hierarchical, in fact not so big organizations as in the United States, for instance. Qualitative methodology has emphasis also in Scandinavia, in that kind of issues. And there was this one book about Scandinavian organization theory, even maybe 20 years ago. Then some recent developments. Well, I would say that linguistic data is still having a lot of space. Also aesthetic data, visual data, also mixed methods and mixed data. So it's not so more much anymore that it's either or, qualitative or quantitative, but it's we can see nowadays kind of hybrid methods to be used, and hybrid data to be used. We can really, I mean, quite often video types, YouTube, many kind of aesthetic data, it's more and more there, and it wasn't there before. Also this linguistic data, I think it has got more food space in empirical research. Also, everyday knowledge about reality. This book by Berger and Lachmann is worth mentioning here, The Social Construction of Reality. And I think that everyone who is really doing work using social construction ideas should go to the roots once and read one of the books, because they are very, very clearly written, and they are very much going to the roots of the theory. They are even good Finnish translations by Gaudi Amos. I think at least it's one good translation in Finnish. Because it's there somehow at the background. Also organization theory as a narrative science, I think Hugo Cacciardi is going to talk about this much, much more. But just to say that it's one way to approach organizations. It's a broad way. It has many kind of genres, and it's not only one way. We can also write down organization as a narrative, even using aesthetic data, even films, drama, TV series or something. So it's kind of literary forms or representations that can take form on art. Also, Carl Rhodes had a book about writing organization, taking a linguistic turn in organizational research. So I think it's one of the articles that quite nicely puts this all together. And then just to mention also Carl Weick's theory on organizations, because it's one of the theory really, because it tries to explain everything what happens in organizations. So it's that way, both ontologically and epistemologically, it's really, it is a kind of theory. So sense making is the way to do the reality, as they are saying, and they have different angles how to present that somehow. So participants of organizations selectively attend to their environments, and they make the interaction with the environment, and they make collectively and individually sense on what's happening. So it's a kind of set of meanings what is there as a product somehow, kind of agreed upon responses that are selected from among the many, many possibilities. So among the responses that are selected, some are more useful than the others, and they are somehow somehow stored there, so to say. Well, I would like to end up saying that, as Richard Whitley has written, that there are different kinds of knowledges, even if we somehow now are talking about academic knowledge, but we should understand there are many kinds of knowledges that are needed, so to say. So consultant knowledge is for one's organization's use, and often we can use it as when we collect empirical data, but it's not enough for academic use. So research knowledge is for generalization, for understanding dynamics, interpretative, whatever the way it is. Whereas survey knowledge is about car loops, investigations without any theory. So that we see all the time at the news, they are collecting, so to say, data surveys, how many people think like this, how many people might think the otherwise, how many people like this minister, and how many people don't like, etc. So it's a kind of numbers counting, but without theory. But they have their means as well. They are used for other kind of issues. The magazines, professional journals, they deal with knowledge, which has general interest and standpoints at the background. And they are meant for people who can take benefit of them. So it's a different kind of knowledge as well. So they are relevant and difficult even to compare for different audiences and uses, but knowledges can be better and worse. Anything is not related. Everything is not relational. And that's the case also in academic knowledge. Everything can be compared. Some knowledges can be better, some can be worse when we try to understand something. So everything is not relational. We can understand better, and I think otherwise, what we do as researchers would not be so challenging if we think that we cannot find any kind of general knowledges or understanding that is better than the other kind of understanding. So thank you very much for this time.